The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Or number two, there we go, of A Numbers Game right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by Bar Canada here at the D. I don't know if they bring it to us, but we're certainly here. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. We did have Jason coming on the show today.
Yeah, we got excited. A bit at the end, yeah.
Eddie Olchick from NBC Sports talk Breeders' Cup with us. Can't wait for that as well. Looking forward to that. I learned over the break that Kelly has no confidence in me whatsoever. It's just sinking in that it's a little disappointing. You're so amazed.
In your horse racing preparation, yes, I don't have much confidence in. No.
Yeah, but you thought Felica fed me the thing, and then you said, are you going? I'm like, no.
Well,
I'm
that
not
would
going.
Make more sense. You know, like if I came in here one day spitting out all these hockey stats, and you were like, are you going to a Golden Knights game tonight? I'd be like, yeah.
Yeah.
The answer would be yes.
Yeah, but it's called, and I'm going to put this. I'm going to word this carefully. Doing your job. That's what I'm saying. No, and by the way, I do want to make some irresponsible bets. That is definitely the motivation. If I wasn't betting, you're 100% right with that. As a matter of fact, if only we had an expert on such subjects to talk about. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. He's at Fox Sports. You may know him from the Bear Bets Pod, both college and pro football versions. We'll get some college football plays from him, but let's talk some Breeders' Cup with him as well. It's Chris Felica, everybody. How you doing, Chris?
I'm super impressed with this conversation. I think the next step, at least for Drew, we're going to need to get him in the slash hat over to Royal Ascot next year for where they wear all the top hats and stuff. We'll see how the slash hat fits in over in the UK for the big Royal Ascot. I think we need to do that. But you must have absorbed a lot of information from Ron Flatter to turn it around.
No.
And talk Breeders'
Cup. Ron Flatter and I have not had a Breeders' Cup conversation. No. I don't know if you guys know this, but there's a little thing called the information superhighway, the World Wide Web. Are you guys familiar with this?
You're getting no credit.
No credit. None whatsoever.
Well, if you're familiar with it and you've truly done your homework on the Breeders' Cup,
oh boy,
are aware that tomorrow in the Turf Sprint, which is race 10, horse number 9, the horse's name is Roses for Deborah. So I think that's a good inspiration for you.
Look at that.
Turn around and do something nice.
See what he just did?
Stylist Deborah Song. Turn around and do something nice for her.
Roses right? for Deborah.
There you go.
There you go.
Chris, he just
full
got.
Full bankroll.
You have no idea how many points he just got from her. Just a lifetime worth of points. So let's start with today because we want to get to the bigger races tomorrow. But anything today that you love?
Yeah, in the Juvenile Tour Sprint, I like the number 7 horse, Shards, who's 15-1 on the morning line. This feels like a wide open race where you're going to get a price. And I'm looking down just at my notes here to make sure I get the names of the races right and the program numbers right. The Juvenile Filly race is a tough race to bet because the morning line favorite, Tamara, really didn't work out well in her last work. There are rumors about her potentially scratching. So follow that. It's definitely a race where she does run. You probably want to take a chance and try and beat her. I think if you look at the Juvenile Filly Turf, the number 6 horse, Porta Fortuna, looks really good. Maybe an exacta box with the 14, Le Pavot, might be in play. I have boots on the ground in Southern California, and I'm told in the Juvenile, the number 4 horse, Timberlake, looks like a picture of health and looks fantastic. So you might want to take a look at number 4 horse, Timberlake, Brad Cox's horse. I believe he's 4-1 in the morning line. And then the Juvenile Turf, the number 9 horse, Endlessly, for Mike McCarthy, I believe is unbeaten so far. And I think he had a good price. He's got a chance to continue.
Wow.
That unbeaten back to his career.
Wow. I ask a question. Do you have any horses today? And I get a dissertation on them. Yes, absolutely. You do.
You wanted picks and me. Yeah. And Ed, so we're going to give you picks.
Yeah. Do you do a pick 5 tomorrow? Do you even delve into that?
Tomorrow. Today.
Today as well. Okay.
Today and tomorrow. Absolutely.
What about tomorrow?
Tomorrow, we're going to go down. If you're a better, you're looking to get, you don't care about 5, 6, 7, 8-1 double digits long shot. If you're looking just to make one bet and you turn around, you're happy getting 2-1 or 5-2 on your money. In the Philly AmeriTurf, the number 6 horse in Spiral, that horse, she looks like she has to fall down to lose. In Italian, Chad Brown's horse will be on the lead, but I'm not sure she gets a mile and a quarter. So I think the number 6 horse in Spiral is someone who, if you're looking just to make one bet and you don't care about how much you're making, 2-1, 5-2 on your money is good. That's the horse for you to play.
Top hope for the Europeans, Kelly. Top hope for the Europeans.
Wow, look at you. the horse that would have been the top hope for the Europeans, I think, in the next race, the mile, favorite Master of Seas, drew out in the parking lot. So the horse is going to have to overcome a lot. So I'm not getting involved there. I think in the turf, maybe is a chance price horse with the number two horse, Ernesto, is someone to take a look at. The classic, I do like Guardabario, who may be the favorite in this race now that the Belmont winner, Arcangelo, has scratched, unfortunately. So take a look at the board. Maybe if Guardabario is too short, I'll look for a price there. The turf sprint is a horse. It is a horse that I think is going to draw in because of a couple of scratches. The number 13 horse, one timer. We'll see if Edzo, kind of a hunch play maybe for him as well. That horse may draw in for Larry Ravello. If so, I think that horse has a good chance. And then I'm hearing from more than one person that the number two horse, Dr. Shivel, in the sprint is a good thing. And I know he was at 5-1 on the morning line. Probably won't get that on him. But we have 4-1 or so on Dr. Shivel. I'll be happy to take that.
You putting all these in the newsletter, Kelly? All of them. Kelly's like, oh no, why did you mention that out loud?
Yeah. Pretty much.
I saw him writing names down there before. He was being a good producer and doing his homework.
All of those in chronological order, by the way, from Chris, in terms of the docket tomorrow, race by race at the Breeders' Cup. We'll talk to Eddie Olczyk even more in depth about the Breeders' Cup coming up. But since we have you, college football, good college football weekend. Let me just throw one out to you and then you can give us our best bets. LSU and Alabama, what do you have here?
I like LSU here. This line is only 3, and normally it seems like the odds makers out there would kind of err on the side of posting a higher Alabama number, kind of knowing that people are going to bet on Alabama regardless, and maybe they want some money on the underdog. But the fact that this number is so low, it tells me they're hunting for Alabama money, and they kind of feel that LSU is the right side. We saw Jaden Daniels have a great game last year against the Tide, especially with his feet. I think that could be a problem again. And they got, obviously, Daniels, a quarterback. Malik Nabers, a great wide receiver. We saw what Texas did at Bryant Denny earlier this year with Ewers and the wide receivers that they have. LSU's quarterback wide receiver play is better than what Texas has. And I think Alabama has struggled at times to get after the passer. Maybe I'm going to step into a trap here and hate myself for doing it, betting against Nick Saban in Tuscaloosa. But I think there's a really good chance that LSU goes in there and wins. And maybe I'm a little jaded because like you and your love for Puka Nacua, I have a nice Heisman bet on Jaden Daniels. So I was trying to parlay Jaden Daniels to win the Heisman with LSU money line this week. But unfortunately, a little decorrelated. So I'm unable to do that. But I do think that LSU has a really good chance to go in there and win.
Let me get this straight. Did you just suggest that I was talking through my bet when I talk about Puka Nacua? Was that the suggestion?
Potentially.
Slightly. Okay. Just curious.
Not like we have a track record of a Juan Soto, Spencer Strider. Yeah. We've been down this road before.
Yes, we have. All right. The floor is yours. What do you like best this college football Saturday?
I like Utah. And I know with a bad offense, you really don't want to lay double digits. But I did lay 11 with the Utes against Arizona State. I think the situation with Utah getting absolutely pummeled last week at home by Oregon, I would expect Kyle Whittingham and Morgan Scalley to kind of get their defense back on track this week against an Arizona State team, which finally broke through last week against Wazoo, pulled that upset. But prior to that, their offense really had not been putting up a bunch of points. I would be surprised if Utah laid an egg at home in consecutive weeks. So I did lay 11 with Arizona State. And I took 9.5 with Virginia Tech. And I think as some of your tennis plays go, Gil, you can get a better number now, I think, with the Hokies. Mm-hmm. I think there's some tennis out there. So I took the Hokies plus 9.5. But Virginia Tech's kind of figured some things out. 1-3 of 4, the one game they lost to Florida State, they tied that game in the third quarter, I believe, or either tied or made 21-17. But they got back in the game. You look at Louisville, they played down to the level of their competition a lot this year. You beat Georgia Tech by 5 and struggle. Indiana's the worst team in the Big Ten. You beat them by 7. NC State, you hang on and win by 3. Jack Plummer hasn't been great since that Notre Dame game. So I took the Hokies in the points here, and we'll see what happens with that. And I'm, again, I might hate myself for doing this, but I did take USC in the three against Washington.
Ooh, wow.
The Huskies have been begging to get beat the last couple of weeks. We know that USC's defense has had problems, but Washington does not get after the passer at all. Is Michael Penix healthy? His play has certainly kind of fallen off the last couple of weeks. He's had injury problems in the past. So I know SC does not have a very good history of pulling upsets lately. I believe it's the last 26 games that they've been an underdog. Only three times they've actually won outright. So that's concerning to me. But at the same time, new administration in town. And by the way, SC still has a whole lot of life. They control their destiny to get the back four championship. So I took SC, and then I'm on the fence with a couple more. Do I really want to hate myself so much and get involved with Michigan State and Nebraska? But I can't imagine laying points with Nebraska on the road and Auburn laying close to 13, I think, now with against Vanderbilt. I know they beat Miss State last week, but they scored like a year's worth of points in that game. So really want to lay that many points with Auburn on the road against Vandy? I don't know.
Okay, I need a 20-second or less answer to this. Someone wants to bet the Heisman Trophy market right now. Who should they bet?
Bo Nix. That would be the bet that I would make. I think Jaden Daniels, it's contingent on them winning in Tuscaloosa. But I think Bo Nix, I think Oregon wins out. Absolutely live.
Bo Nix at 5-1 currently at DraftKings. Chris, good luck with all your bets, college football and the Breeders' Cup, sir. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, guys.
At Chris Fallica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A on Twitter. Bear Bets Pod, college football version on Thursday, pro football version on Friday. Bam. Eddie Olczyk joins us to talk Breeders' Cup on the other side. Can't wait for this. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Special Numbers Game investigation reveals that college basketball tips off on Monday. Now's the time to get your copy of our annual betting guide. This year's guide includes Matt Heumann's top 25 rankings, who could be this season's Florida Atlantic, all 32 conferences previewed, Wooden Award candidates, futures, and season-long prop bets. The only way to get the guide, though, is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now for just $120. That's United States dollars. To get VSiN Pro access to everything we do until May 1st. That's all college basketball season long, March Madness and beyond, for only $120. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. By the way, Kelly, Al Bernstein hits me up on Twitter. Yesterday, the day before, he's a legendary boxing announcer, the sweetest guy in the world. You know, he's an early VSiN guy.
Yeah, yeah.
So we know each other.
VSiN OG, yeah.
And we have each other's numbers. I don't know. He forgot that news. He went to Twitter. And I didn't know why he wanted to talk to me. And the whole time I'm thinking, I go, is he going to give me his lounge act? Like, is he going to bequeath his Vegas lounge act to me? Because, you know, he sings around town. I was so excited. I was like, can you imagine now Juvenile back that took us up a little something different. It was not that. But he's the sweetest guy in the world, and we're going to have him on to talk boxing here in the next couple of weeks.
Awesome. That is great.
Looking forward to that. Yeah. We're equally excited to have this gentleman on the show right now. He's NBC Sports horse racing handicapper and analyst, obviously a former NHL player as well. It's the great Eddie Olczyk. How you doing, Eddie? Nice to meet you.
Yo, Kelly, nice to talk to you guys. How are you?
Doing very well. This is quite the weekend for horse racing fans. We just had Chris Fallica on last segment. We did it chronologically. I want to start with the big races with you first so we get those in. And let's start with the Breeders' Cup Distaff tomorrow, which is 5:10 p.m. Eastern post time. And I just want to sort of give you what I have anecdotally sucked in from this, which is I go from capper to capper, analyst to analyst on this, and they're like, oh, this race to me, I can't believe no one sees that, you know, horse X is absolutely the horse to bet. And I've gotten Clarier on that. The other one that comes up on this a lot in this particular race is... Mischievous is what's the one with the mischievous on there is
pretty mischievous.
Well, how about you? How do you feel about this race? Is it as clear cut to you as it is to others?
I think the most clear cut, Gil, for me is that they're on paper, and sometimes on paper, and when humans get on the back of horses that have their own minds, they decide to do their own things, and it doesn't play out the way that you think, these equine athletes. But there is a lot of speed in this race. So to me, the faster they go, the better it is for a horse, like you said, Clairier, who threw in a really, you know, there's no other way to say it, just a brutal race at Saratoga. Now, the race was in an off track, so I think that that played into it for sure back in August. But, I mean, she's a mare that comes right flying more times than not, and the faster they go, the better it would be, trained by Steve Asmussen and, of course, ridden by Joel Rosario. To me, the key to the race, Gil, and we're going to talk about this on our NBC and USA Network broadcast all weekend, is, to me, the key to the race is who's your filly on the rail with Luis Saez and Tom Amos. She's putting blinkers on. Back in her earlier days, she was a, you know, earlier days as a two-year-old and, a, you know, an early three-year-old, I should say. She was very, very quick. And it looks like to me the only way that she can win and be a part of this thing is that if she gets aggressive. So how is that going to play into Idiomatic and Adair Manor and Randomized and Search Results? I mean, so, you know, what horses can be tactical? What horses can be adaptable when all of a sudden they're going eye to eye for a half a mile or 5/8 of a mile and then, you know, does the speed come back? So look, at I would agree with everybody that you've talked to, and kind of the sense is that you probably could go four or five different ways. But for me, I look at Clairier to, I don't want to say sit the trip, but be the horse that, if I believe, and I do, is that this race is going to collapse where the speed doesn't go wire to wire. Somebody from just off or way out of it comes up and picks up the pieces. So race seven tomorrow, and I will say this, the fine folks at First Bet and Express Bet, which I'm not sure if you can wear out an app on your phone, but I have a pretty good chance of wearing out my app on my phone this weekend. This race is going to get a lot of attention and a lot of cash thrown its way, because I think you're going to have a lot of opinions in this race. I mean, I think a favorite will end up being Idiomatic, the four horse, but long-winded, I would say, is that I see a lot of speed in this race and the key to the race. If the one isn't on the lead, then I really won't have any idea what the hell happened. So I'm banking on the one, the 20-1 with Luis Saez going to trying to get to the lead, and then somebody coming picking up the pieces late.
Speaking of attention, the Breeders' Cup Turf, which follows that, may be the most attention of any race, if you can say that about a non-Breeders' Cup Classic race, a Breeders' Cup weekend. The Breeders' Cup Turf is, this is, I said it earlier, five of the top 20 horses by rankings anywhere on the planet are in this, regardless of service. Yeah. If you're going to win a pick five tomorrow, maybe this is the one you really got to get. What do you think about the turf tomorrow?
To me, it's a capital A, capital L, capital R race if you're playing. I really look at it, and I'm not embarrassed to say this. Like the one thing that I don't have a lot of confidence in is the Euros, the European horses, the Japanese horses that come in and don't have a great feel for style and class that they're running against over there. I mean, the American horses, I mean, that's easy because I live that every day. But, I mean, this is a – I think you're right. This is a absolute wide-open race. I mean, I think the best North American entrant that we have is the 8-horse up to the mark for Todd Fletcher and Irad Ortiz. Be interesting to see how this race ends up getting running. A lot of people think that there are a Euro or two that have a incredible shot. But, you know, say maybe just the inconsistencies is the biggest question mark. I don't think there's that dominant – Euro that we've seen come over in the Breeders' Cup Turf before. And again, look at, they're running for four schmil. I mean, $4 million on the line. So they're not just coming for a little holiday in Southern California. So honestly, to me, I want to for sure. I mean, I'll probably tread very lightly when it comes to getting my feet wet on that race, but it's an absolute wide open race. I could not talk anybody off a horse in there because I don't have a real strong opinion in that race, but I agree with you. It is absolutely as good as it gets and as wide open as it is, because you could ask 10 people and you might get 8 different horses out of the 10 people.
All right. And then what about the Classic, which obviously famously Tuesday scratch of Arcangelo. So we have a new favorite here in Arabian Night, but we have other horses, a couple others that are right there. Ushba Tesoro, White Averlo. What do you like here?
Yeah, well, I see, like, I guess the biggest question is, Gil, is that the biggest question is who is going to put the pressure on the 12-horse Arabian Night for Bob Baffert and Flavian Pratt? I don't, my gut feeling is that I don't know if there's anybody as quick as this horse. Now, if he gets looked in the eye, will he just back up and then all of a sudden, you know, the late horses start, you know, that come from behind us end up, you know, going. There is a lot of movement on a Japanese horse, the 8 horse, Ushba Tesoro. A lot of people like Saudi Crown, who won the Pennsylvania Derby in the slop. I mean, it was an awful track, but went wire to wire. A lot of people feel that the 6 Saudi Crown is going to put pressure on Arabian Night. And I would just tell people, your viewers and listeners out there, Gil, is that, like, to me, the number I want people to hear when you're hearing Larry Colmus, who is the voice of the Breeders' Cup for NBC, when you hear him give, he'll give a half a mile, how fast they're going in a half a mile, and then he'll give a 3/4 mile note. He'll give the time. When they get, he says, 3/4 mile in, I believe is that they have a chance to go in 110 and change. If they go faster than 110, if they're in the 109 or if they're 110 flat, to me, that's a good sign for horses that will come from off the pace. So for me, full disclosure, I've been on the Arabian Night bandwagon from day one. And the other horse that I've been on all summer and said to myself that he's going to be my Breeders' Cup Classic horse, regardless, is going to be the 13 proxy with Joel Rosario. He's proven at Santa Anita. I think he's going to sit a really good trip. So the faster they go, the better it would be for proxy. And, you know, the other hot horse here is White Abario, the 3 horse for Dick Dutrow, who just destroyed the field at the Whitney at Saratoga back in August. So I think early you're going to see Arabian Night. I think you're going to see Saudi Crown. It's going to be interesting what Bright Future does with Johnny Velasquez for Todd Pletcher. So I think the faster they go, the better. And then I mentioned the Japanese horse who really quick was running on turf pretty much his whole life and, you know, was running okay, not great, but all of a sudden decided, you know what, let's put him on dirt. And all of a sudden the last 7 races is win. And this horse won the Dubai World Cup for $12 million in Maidan back in March. So I think he's going to be one of the favorites, the 8 horse Ushba Tesoro. But I see this race going quick, and the quicker they go, the better it will be for Proxy. So Proxy will be getting the majority of my attention tomorrow on my Express Bet account on my first bet count.
All right, Proxy from Eddie Olczyk. Eddie's going to have a suggested $25 wager ready, offering a free $25 bet for person signing up at first.com/bet using the promo code EDZO25. Eddie, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You guys have a great weekend. Thanks for having me.
You too. Eddie Olczyk on both USA's coverage today and then USA and NBC tomorrow on the Breeders' Cup. Dr. Bob in store. Analytics, college football next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. That's Vegas. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Charlie D, USA number one, he said, Matt Brown didn't have a prop bet on the football game last night, but please tell me he bet the puck line with the Kraken. Big 3 on Friday. Thank you.
That's a throwback
to primetime action when the Kraken used to really anger Matt Brown. Joe Nigro, a small percentage might be in just for the picks, but the majority appreciate your status and guidance as the custodian of the gambulatory arts, he says. Well, thank you. Gambulatory arts. Talking about the discussion we had with Matt Brown earlier on the show. He said, hey, Gil, Kelly, can you tell Matt to stop irrationally explaining his picks? Ain't nobody got time for that. I love when you guys get the band back together. Just missing Danielle. Yes.
Yeah.
We miss Danielle. Danielle Alvari, the great Danielle Alvari. Blue Hen Bill, given Todd's dissertations on the Megapod yesterday, it sounded like you gave him some puppy uppers as prescribed. LOL, cut the dosage in half and he'll be perfect for next week. Great show. Thank you. I appreciate that. He was excitable yesterday. Let's put it that way. And apparently we missed a straight from the horse's mouth thing from Matt. Jason DeWall and the numbers guy points this out.
Matt always does his same interview the horse.
Oh, you missed a straight horse's mouth set up there. I see what you're saying.
Easy joke.
I see. Novak points out about the Chiefs' travel. He says the Chiefs used the same travel schedule in 2015 going to London. They won 45-10. So there's a nod against everything
you said at the beginning. True. Small. It's all small sample size. We're going off.
And I want to read what Arch Indy says, because this is right, because we're talking about the analytics. You guys were, you brought up the Nick Saban stuff. He goes, What Mark Indy said, what analytics don't tell you is that the inputs used to create the percentage are wildly imprecise. Wouldn't necessarily know that based on how smugly certain analytics, certain folks in the analytics crowd can be about their wobbly probability formulas. Now, that is a very valid criticism. Now, that is a rational criticism, not when what they say, what Saban was saying was just dumb. About, oh, it doesn't tell you when you miss it. No, that's exactly what it's giving you a percentage on that. But what Arch Indy says, that is correct, because unlike Dr. Bob, who we're about to have, who's been doing this for decades and who has just finally tuned what he's done. Yeah, just because you have a model doesn't mean it's right.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely.
That's a 100% valid point. So we do want to suggest that there is some smarts to the counter argument on that. Speaking of which, the great pioneer of analytics, predictive algorithms to predict the results of sporting events, joins us at Dr. Bob Sports, drbobsports.com. Now, Bob, I already said you're the exception to this rule. Yours is tried and true, but you would agree with me that whenever you just hear that somebody has a model, you can't assume that they know what they're doing, correct?
Yeah, most models are. I found that most people that build a model, it ends up being a contrary model. The first mistake that people make is like, oh, I'm going to run a regression analysis and see what correlates to point differentials. All right, that's a fine start. But what they find out is like, wow, turnovers are really important. And then they start thinking that teams that are positive and turnovers are good bets, but it's just the opposite. You know what I mean? Because turnovers are mostly random. So you end up with a contrary indicator betting on teams that have been lucky in turnovers, you know, and that's the mistake I find. Because a lot of people email me, like, what do you think about a model? I'm like, no. That's not how it works.
Yeah.
So most people make that mistake.
No, I've brought up this point on the show before, and I'm glad Arch Indy brings it up again, because it's totally true. The average new-ish better hears that somebody's model says whatever. By the way, it doesn't have to be to predict the outcome of an event. It could be, oh, my fourth down model suggests that you do this here. If your inputs suck, your model sucks.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. Let's talk about your the college football play that you'd like to share. Notre Dame and Clemson tomorrow morning. What do you got here?
Well, this just strikes me as Clemson. People are just thinking Clemson is still Clemson. Clemson hasn't been Clemson since Trevor Lawrence left for the NFL. The last 3 years of offense have been average at best, and then below average, you know, at some points. And I mean, this team's 4-4. You know, and they're a good team. I mean, but Clemson has an average offense. I'm talking at an FBS level. So it's below average for an ACC team. And they have a good defense, not an elite defense like they've had in some years, but a really good defense. If this were a team with an average offense and a good defense, you know, like Duke or something like that, Notre Dame would be favored by 6.5. The only reason the line is 3 is because they wear orange jerseys that say Clemson on them. I mean, if this were any other team, Notre Dame would be favored by more than 3. I mean, it's just, you know, and what the thing is, that the strength of Clemson's team is their defense. That's fine. But Notre Dame has a better defense than Clemson this year. And the offenses are night and day. Notre Dame has a top 10 offense. And like I said, Clemson has an offense that is average on a national scale. So it's just one of those lines that, like, if this were any other team other than Clemson, the line would be 6.5. And I'm happy to lay 3. With Notre Dame, the much better team.
This sounds like one of your strongest convictions of the year. Am I right about that?
Nah, I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's a higher than average play, but okay. I wouldn't say it's, you know, some sort of,
okay.
I don't do the lock thing. I don't get overexcited.
I wasn't trying to get you to say that. But
I get what you're saying. I mean, the math model, you know, certainly likes Notre Dame here to win, you know, by more than a touchdown. And I think the line, like I said, would have been 6. I think it's true line value. You know, the model indicates line value. And then in this case, it's like, this is true line value because of the perception that Clemson is still Clemson, that Clemson is still an elite program, and they're not.
How many listeners do you think, Kelly, we just had who are like, he said it was a lock? That's what I heard.
You heard it here first. His seven-star play of the year of the
That's
week.
Right. That's what I heard.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, exactly. So Notre Dame -3 tomorrow at Clemson. That's 12 noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. That's an early start in that ball game. All right, let's go to Sunday. This is an interesting play from you. What do you got here?
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, the NFL's been on a bit of a heater. I think 12-0 the last 2 weeks on the best bets in the NFL.
Wow!
And I've had you get these plays, you're on the list. And I've had some people going, like Denver last week. A lot of contrary stuff this time of year, and this is one of those plays. It's Carolina over the Colts. I went against the Colts last week, and part of the reason I took the Saints last week and the overs because the Colts secondary is just decimated with injury. The top three cornerbacks are gone, and I like the change in play callers for Carolina. I think that's going to help them. Last week, Bryce Young had completed two passes with 20-plus air yards with the new play caller. He only had three of those in the first five games. So already they're going to throw deep. But the problem last week was, I mean, they won the game. They didn't score a lot of points. So the problem last week was he got sacked a lot. And he was sitting there waiting for plays to open up. He got sacked five or six times. But the Colts ranked third to last in pressure rate. So Young is going to have more time to look downfield against this decimated Colts secondary. That's the top three outside corners are out. And they're right now, they just can't stop anybody. And on the other side of the ball, I think, well, the Colts offense is playing well, which is true. Last couple of weeks, Gardner Minshew's averaged over 7 yards per pass play against the Browns and Saints, but those teams play a lot of man coverage and Shane Steichen's offense thrives against teams that play man coverage, but against zone coverage, they are not so good. And Carolina is plays the second most zone coverage, 89%. They play zone, second highest in the league. And plus they get their safety back this week for the first time in a few weeks. And the Colts yards per attempt versus zone is only 83% of what it is versus man, which is near the bottom of the league. So Colts aren't very good against the blitz relatively. And the Panthers have a high blitz rate. So I don't think this is a great matchup for the Colts offense. And I think it's a pretty good matchup for the Panthers offense. And the model favors the Panthers by 2.9, and they're getting 2.5. So I took the Panthers plus the 2.5. And I also teased them, a bonus play.
Hey.
A six-point teaser with Carolina and Buffalo.
Buffalo. Oh, to teasing them up through the 3 and the 7 at Cincinnati. It's funny.
Plus 8, yeah.
I love, it's funny. I love Cincinnati in that game, but we were talking teasers. I'm like, I kind of like Buffalo plus the points, though, as a teaser. 12-0 run for Dr. Bob. I'm told that's good.
Yeah, it's been good because I had such a rough start in college with a lot of games like underdogs outgaining their opponent by 200 yards and then being -4 in turnovers and not covering. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And obviously in any great run, the last 4 weeks, all plays in the NFL are 27 and 7. So it's just been a really good run. But it's one close games.
Yeah.
I'm winning some close games, which I didn't do and haven't done in college. College hasn't been bad, but it's nice to get finally on track. And even on your show, I started off the season with some games that are like, you got to be kidding. How did I lose that? But now we are above profit level on your show, the picks on your show, which I always keep track of. And I'm proud to have won every single season I've been on your show. And now we're up to 2-0 last week. We're now up to 12-10 in the season after a struggle early in the year for your listeners. So
thank you, Bob.
Hopefully we'll continue.
I got a run, but thank you. That was very well said. 12-0, not likely to be 12-0 moving forward. There's your disclaimer. Thank you, Bob. Dr. Bob Sports,
exactly.
Everybody.
Thanks, buddy.
Jason Weingarten next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks. Betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120 at vsin.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin live from Bar Canada at the D, downtown Las Vegas, Nevada. people who have been with us since we came over from the South Point to the D, they know, you know, there was like, you know, music issues when we first got here. And, you know, thanks to Derek Stevens and
all the great people here
at
the D.
And Mike Palm and David Rosborough. You know, we took care of that. Yesterday, there was like smoke in our face, you know, so we overcame that. We have stuff we overcome some days.
That's right.
Today, through the whole show, and we have been distracted by this off air the whole time, but we figured we'd have to mention this.
Because we're fascinated. Like the noise is probably picking up in the background. So
we're fascinated by this. There is I'm gonna turn my head to get this right. There's a $20,000. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Get on down.
$20,000 Moose on the Loose video poker tournament.
Yep, going on up here at Bar Canada. Looks like first session starting at 11 a.m. Pacific time, Gil. And we are filling up already. 2 hours and 15 minutes away, and this bar is filling up with players.
It is. I'll go just shy of pandemonium, but it's getting there. Mm-hmm. But my question to you becomes, so Sharp Money does their show from here as well a little later on in the day. It's going to be the middle of the tournament when they do their show. That is going to be a sight to behold.
I heard Dustin's going to be doing play-by-play for you. So
Dustin is doing play-by-play? Yeah.
Jimmy takes the lead with four aces here, and then it's Teddy over there.
I kind of want to come back here to see the fury with which people press the buttons.
Matt Brown said, I've never watched one. I know they do these all the time, but Matt said it is chaos.
It's amazing. The passion for a video poker tournament. 20 large people signing up. You gonna join this? You gonna jump in?
If I didn't have a couple errands to run right after the show, I would stick around for it. Absolutely.
Excitement. You could. I don't know what the buy in here.
I guess I don't know what the buy is.
Oh, like that'll stop you.
Right. Yeah.
Jason Weingarten joins us now from under a cloud of smoke in Southern California. How you doing, Jason? At Spreadopedia.
Good morning. How's it going, Gil? How's it going, Kelly?
We are well. Can I speak for you?
Yeah.
We are well.
Yeah. Yes. Great.
We are well. How are you, sir? You are well as well.
Yeah, can't complain. Baseball season's over. Now we kind of sit around for 2 weeks and wait for Bob Nightingale to leak the announcements for the thing.
What is the? I don't usually like to do this, but Bob Nightingale, his Twitter feed is, how can I put this, entertaining as all get out, because his priority is on rushing it out there rather than getting it right. Would that be an accurate description of his Twitter feed?
Yeah, I mean, he's if you describe him as a journalist, you are very stretching the word journalism.
Okay. Yes. The Major League Baseball awards. What is the one that you have the most stake in?
Gunnar Henderson.
Okay. You think you're pretty safe there?
I hope so. Otherwise, might see me picking you up at the airport next time you get an Uber.
Do you think there is a surprise coming at any of the awards?
No, nothing at all.
Okay.
I think Ohtani shouldn't win the MVP, but no, I think everything's pretty straightforward this year. It was slightly kind of boring if you think about it.
In the end, right? Blake Snell will win the NL Cy Young. It won't be anybody else, even though we talked about it ad nauseum, right?
Yeah, Snell. Should be Snell.
Okay. Just curious. Okay. What did you bet in college or pro football this weekend, sir? What do you have?
Well, I got some NBA bets for you today, actually.
Wait a minute. All right, what do you got?
Well, because, you know, I gave this guy an account, and it's clearly not his bets. They're bought. Like, clearly he just handed off the account to a group, and it's bought. So I cut his limit, but, like, he's still betting them. I don't have a problem giving out the plays because I know they're not his plays. Like, I know they're sharp, too, because they win. Anyway. So you want some good stuff today that I know sharps have been betting for the last 3 hours or so?
This is the authentic stuff right here from a numbers game. Yes, please share. We'd love to hear.
Wizard Heat under 226. Looks like that's moved a little bit. The Warriors -5.5. That's moved to 6, I think. Wizards +9.5. Golden State under 227.5. That might be the biggest mover so far. And then Cavaliers Pacers over 225.5.
If you're wondering what Jason does in his spare time, here's one of the things he does in his spare time.
But, like, Gil, should I feel bad? Like, the guy's going to hit me up and be like, why are you giving out my plays? I'm just going to be like, well, they're not your plays. So, what, am I supposed to feel bad or something?
Oh, man, they could come after me at the end. Why are you giving out plays? I was like, it's just Jason. I can't control the guy. Okay.
Hey, tell tell whoever it is who you gave the account to come talk to me. I probably listening to the show.
The funny part about this is the interesting little quirk of all this is it shows you like when Jason is a better, how, you know, how bettors complain about certain things that bookmakers do. But here is now Jason sort of, I don't know, maybe playing another role. And you can see how your mindset transforms slightly to the other side. Is that accurate?
I don't really care, because I could just copy them for 2, 3, 10 times, whatever, you know, whatever they're playing them for. But just silly. It's like you think you'd be smarter about this. At least put some cover play down and don't make it so I just have to hit up one guy and say, hey, can you match these plays? Matches them in a minute. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's a bot. Obviously. Come on. He's got to be smarter than that.
If you ever wanted a window into the stuff we really talk about when we're not on air, here is one example of some of the stuff we talk about. That's so great.
Go Warriors today. I guess I'm a Warriors fan.
Go Warriors.
And under, right?
Yeah, and under.
Yeah, Warriors and under.
Okay, what college and pro football bets have you made, sir, that are not bot driven from someone else?
I bet the Bills +3 this weekend. That was a little play I had, confident about that. I got the Rams +3.5. It's a weird game, this Rams Packers game. Like, which side do you hate more right now? Who's got more problems?
I think This game I want no part of whatsoever. You got the 3 in the hook here?
3.5, yeah. 3.5 -120. I think the Packers made an incredibly poor trade this weekend. They traded Rasul Douglas. And you're like, oh, how can you survive trading Rasul Douglas? Whatever. But the stuff I've read, and I follow the Packers fairly closely, all the beat writers, everything I read says they traded, you know, the leader in the locker room, the guy all the players on the defense looked up to. And when you already have like 50% of your cap out this season, either on injuries or snap counts or whatever, trading away a leader like that on the defense just seems like a foolish move, especially right before a pass heavy team comes to town. Granted, you know, I know Stafford might be hurt, but I don't know. I just don't like what the Packers are doing. I think this is essentially a lost year for them already.
Oh, for sure it is. For sure it is. And again, I've said it many times this week on the show. I was the guy who in the offseason was like, how do we know Jordan Love's going to stink? He's held a clipboard for all these years under the same, you know, offense, and obviously Aaron Rodgers' tutelage as well. Yeah.
Did you bet the Raiders at all this weekend?
No, I didn't touch that game. You?
I love the Raiders. Raiders -2.5. You're telling me Daniel Jones has a $160 million contract and he's a 2-point dog to the Raiders? Like, what are, this is the kind of stuff I'd hate working for an NFL team. I'd be like, what are we even doing here?
Wait, so you faked us out. So you're on the Giants?
No, I'm on the Raiders.
You're on the Raiders.
Yeah. Right. I actually love the firing of Josh McDaniels. I think too few NFL teams really understand the concept of sunk cost. You know, once you realize something's wrong, the only thing you could do is just fix it, get rid of it.
Yeah.
Josh McDaniels was absolutely the worst person for that job. He's a terrible head coach.
Completely agree. No reason
for him to be a head coach in the NFL. And finally, one of the smart things the Raiders have done, and there's very few smart things the Raiders have done, was just get rid of him.
By the way, Antonio Pierce, I had mentioned we live in the same complex, so we often leave the building at the same time. He has this countenance about him where it's like even intimidating being around him. Like, he looks
more like a leader than Josh McDaniels. Yeah. Josh McDaniels looks like the kind of guy that a player is going to take a swing at sooner or later. I don't get the sense someone's going to take a swing at Antonio Pierce this weekend.
No, it's not going to happen. Promise you that. All right, so you love the Rams. You love the Raiders.
It's that dash for trash this weekend.
The poo-poo platter from Jason Weingarten. Anything college, or we leave it there?
I told you I bet Oregon State.
Oregon State,
I think they make some very quick work of the Colorado Buffaloes this weekend. But surprisingly light card. I am interested in this Washington-USC game. I have a hard time convincing myself to bet USC here. I think I'm probably just going to lay the 3 with Washington, although I'm a little worried Penix hasn't looked great the last 2 weeks. Looks like he's a little injured.
I don't know
if they're disclosing that or not, but he's got to be hurt.
Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
Pleasure. Talk to you guys later. Have a good weekend.
Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia. In the account, I have the Bengals, I have the Commanders, and I have the Chiefs. Kelly, you?
I like it all. All I have is Bengals money line from earlier and a Saints-Giants teaser.
Okay. Good luck with all your bets, college and pro. Horse racing as well. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN.